Praise God. Here this morning, turn with me to Psalm 119. But also, if you're able, don't worry if you're not, but we're going to read first from Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua comes just after the book of Deuteronomy. And we're also going to read from Psalm 119. We're continuing our series of just a few messages. I wish we could go through the entire Psalm, but we're just dipping into it to show you some of the lessons that are held contained within this Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the entire Bible. It has 172 verses, and the theme of every single verse is the importance, the preciousness, and the power of God's written word. It is a psalm all about the word of God. And if you familiarize yourself with Psalm 119, you are going to grow to love the entire Bible and understand the entire Bible and why God gave his written scripture. But my message here this morning, I believe it's a very important one. And it really ties in with our Wednesday night studies on the Bible. But it is a part of Psalm 119. My message, meditating on the Word of God. Meditating on the Word of God. Reading first from Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Just one verse. And then we're going to read from Psalm 119. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Do you want to be prosperous and have success? This is the way, what I'm going to teach you and preach to you this morning. And then reading from Psalm 119, reading from verse 12. Verse 12. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open now mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Let's pray here this morning as we come to the precious word of God. Father, I do pray, like the psalmist of old, will you teach us your ways, O God? Will you teach us your words, your statutes, your judgments, your precepts? My God, don't leave us just with this written book, but we're asking that by your Holy Spirit, that you'd teach us, O God, and that you'd show us wondrous things out of this precious book. Will you open it to us? Will you impact our minds and our hearts? Will you impact how we walk, how we talk, how we live, how we think, how we decide? Lord God, I'm asking of you that you make the word of God as precious to us as you did to the writer of Psalm 119. Lord God, 170 verses, and yet all he can do is glory in the written word of God. Father, make us to rejoice this morning. And Lord God, teach us how to meditate in the word of God. Lord God, to gain a victory over over our enemies. And Lord God, to walk right before you. And I do pray that you make us to prosper, to be blessed this morning. Lord God, to find out how to be successful in this Christian life. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, for your glory we ask it. Amen. Amen. My message here this morning, meditating on the Word of God. Meditating on the Word of God. This is a command in the Bible that you are to meditate in the Word of God. We're not only to read the Word of God. We're not only to listen the Word of God. We're not only to pray the Word of God and preach the Word of God and sing the Word of God, but it's something that we're actually taught and commanded in the Bible that you and I are to meditate in the Word of God. This word meditate or meditation, and listen to this very carefully, is used 20 times in our English Bible. Only 20 times, but 20 very important times. 15 of those 20 times are in the Psalms. That means there's only 5 mentions of meditation outside the Psalms. 15 in the Psalms. And listen carefully. 7 of those 15 times are in Psalm 119. So we have this word, meditation, or meditating, is mentioned 20 times in the entire Bible. But 7 of those times are in one chapter, in one psalm, in one song, written by one pen man within our Bible. That shows me that in Psalm 119, it's all about the Word of God, the importance of God's Word, the need for God's Word, and to hide God's Word in our heart. One of the most important truths that are in Psalm 119 is that you are to meditate in the Word of God 7 clear times. And here this morning, I'm going to take you to all 7, and we're going to look at these 7 verses that teach us how to meditate. But before that, what does the word meditate mean? All of us are affected by the New Age and Buddhism and all manners of chanting and religious exercises and New Age religion. We think of meditating as emptying your mind. You've just got to empty your mind and begin to hum like a Buddhist. And we think that that is meditation. Most of those in our generation think meditation is blanking out, opening up your mind. We've even heard in charismatic meetings, they say, don't think, don't use your head, set your mind aside, don't think about it, just open your heart and receive. That is a very dangerous thing. Do you know what? The Bible never tells you to empty your mind. That is very dangerous. It never says blank out reality. No, no, sir. When you're hurting, you are going to feel hurt. When you're going through trials, your soul is going to feel like it's being squashed to death. The Bible never says to blank that out or to pretend it's not happening or just put a smile on your face and ignore these. It never says that. Since the Bible actually teaches us to meditate. But what does the word in the Bible, meditate, mean? It means to ponder. In other words, you meditate on something. You are pondering it. What does ponder mean? You go over, and you go over, and you go over, and you think, and you think, and you think. That's what meditate means. In other words, biblical meditation is you bring your mind into operation. Your mind is very active. You actually fill your mind with something. You're not trying to empty your mind. You want to fill your mind. What do you want to fill it with? The Word of God. That's what the Bible actually says. It means that you're thinking actively upon something. That you're setting your mind. That you're going to work to say, I am going to have a mind that's actually thinking, pondering, and meditating on the Word of God. That's meditation. It's not a strange look in the eye. It's not a strange sitting position. It is an act of filling your mind with the Word of God. That is meditation. But the Hebrew Hebrew word means something more than that. It doesn't mean just thinking and pondering on things. Listen to this carefully. It also means to speak or to utter. Let me be more precise. It means to speak to yourself or to hold a conversation with yourself. Now, I know we've been raised to say you're a bit strange if you talk to yourself, and you maybe need to see a doctor if you speak to yourself. But you know what meditation is? Is that you're alone filling your mind with the Word of God, and you begin to ponder and to think again and again and again on the same verse or the same chapter or the same teaching. And you know what? As you do this, you begin to hold a conversation with yourself, and you're talking about it, and you're meditating on these things. So, saints, I do believe in talking to myself, but be careful who you tell that to. What is biblical meditation? It is the practice of remembering the Word of God, pondering the Word of God, considering the Word of God, or reflecting upon the Word of God. It's not reflecting upon you or yourself. Situation, or your problems, or your failures, or your struggles. Do you know when we're going through something, don't we wake up at 2 a.m. and we're thinking, and we're thinking, and we're thinking, and someone speaks against us, and we're thinking, and we're thinking, and we're thinking, and we're going through a dark time, and we're thinking, and we're thinking. You need to stop that. Do you know what the cure is? The cure is to meditate on the Word of God. You need to begin to roll, or ponder, or think, and you ought to be filling your mind with the truth of God's holy, the truth of God's Word. You see, what is meditating? It is inwardly chewing the Word of God. It is feasting on the Word of God. This is how you eat the Word of God. The Bible is the food of God, the Word of God on a plate before you. And He sets a knife and a fork down beside you. But how do you get the written Word of God into your heart, into your life, into your spirit? One of the main ways is meditating on the Word of God. Meditating the Word of God is eating, digesting the Word of God. It is feeding on Jesus Christ. It is feeding on the truth of God and making it a part of you. Listen to what Jesus said in John 6:63. The words that I speak unto you, the words He was speaking and teaching that are in the Bible, He says, they are spirit and they are life. In other words, as He speaks, you can take those words and they become a part of your actual life. We get the English word meditate from the Latin, as we do with a lot of our words. They're just old Latin words that have come into the English. But listen where the word to meditate actually comes from. It comes from the Latin word medicalis. Medicalis. Now there's two words that come out of that same Latin word. The word to meditate and the word for medicine. In other words, medicine and meditation come from the same Latin word. They have the same meaning, the same source, the same thought behind them. You say, how can that be? How can meditating be the same as medicine? Let me explain it to you. Because when you meditate on the Word of God, it becomes medicine to your spiritual life. Do you have a spiritual ailment here this morning? Do you have a question that you need to answer? Are you struggling with something this morning? Then Dr. Jesus and Dr. Keith are here to help you this morning. I would like to prescribe some medicine for you to help your every spiritual ailment. I would like you to take this medicine 3 times a day. And there's an endless supply for every sickness, for every disease, for every flu, for every infection, for every germ that attacks your body. I actually have a medicine bottle. The word medicalis also means to have a remedy or an answer for you. So whether we're thinking of medicine or meditation, it's talking about this is going to heal your soul. This is going to bring healing to you spiritually, to your mind, to your emotions, to your spiritual condition. Saints, This act of meditating on the Word of God is absolutely vital for your spiritual health. Listen again what it says in Joshua 1 and 8. This book of the law, the written Word of God. You see, he had the written Word of God, but what are you going to do with it? Moses says to Joshua, it shall not depart out of thy mouth. In other words, keep speaking it. Keep talking about the Word of God. But he goes further. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all according to that's written in it. Then you'll have success. Then you'll be prosperous. What's he saying? Meditate in the book of God. That was Moses speaking to Joshua. You want to be successful in marriage, or you want to be successful in your business, or in your Christian life. Meditate on the Word of God. Since you need to begin to think over the Word of God and ponder over the Word of God. It says also in Psalm chapter 1 and verse 2 about the blessed man. It says his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Pardon me. First time I've ever sneezed preaching. Then in the New Testament, so we have King David in Psalm 1 saying, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates in the law of God. Notice it's not in your experiences. It's not in your spiritual condition. Meditate in the Word of God. What's written in this book, begin to meditate in it. Let it roll in your mind. Let that actually go to business. Say, I'm going to think on it. I'm going to let it roll in my mind. Or Paul speaking to young Timothy in the New Testament in 1 Timothy 4:15. He says, meditate upon these things. This is chapter 4. He's been teaching for 4 chapters. He says, meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Paul says to Timothy, meditate. Let it revolve in the mind. That's the Greek word. What's the Greek word for meditate? Revolve. You keep revolving. You go over and over and over and over. What I taught you, begin to meditate on it. Think on it. Saints, don't let me preach here this morning and you go home and don't think of this until next week. You need to go home and get these 7 scriptures out and say, Lord, speak to me. You need to begin to sit down and eat it like a meal. You see, I'm setting it before you, but you need to eat it. Saints, I'm presenting to you a beautiful meal. I'm presenting to you medicine for your soul that can heal you and set you free and can cure you from your sin-sick soul. And I assure you, there's an answer for a sinner in this room. There's an answer for a saint in this room, saints. But you need to take the medicine. You know, there's lots of people that take one taste of the medicine bottle and say, man, I'm not touching that. That's horrible. Yeah, well, you only took a wee sip of it. You need to be like my great aunt Jenny. She says, I'm not spending money on the doctor to buy some medicine. I'll just get the same stuff for the cow and I'll drink it on the way home. Well, she started walking out of town to home. By the time she got to the end of her lane, the bottle was finished. It was meant for the cow. She said, sure, that hasn't helped me any. She threw it over the hedge. But saints, I'm giving you a cure here, a remedy for your soul. We are given a picture in the Old Testament of what meditating is like. Listen this. This is to show you what meditation in the life of the Christian is like. In Deuteronomy 14, verse 3 to 8, and in Leviticus chapter 11, verse 2 to verse 8, we have a teaching about clean and unclean animals. It's telling you what you can eat and what you cannot eat. It's telling you about the animals that you need to push your plate and say, I'm not touching that. And others that it's okay, it's good for you to eat. Saints, it's not just talking about food here. Do you remember when God came to Peter and showed him that vision of a blanket hanging down filled with all manners of unclean animals? And Peter says, no, Lord, I have never eaten any unclean animals. I'm a Jew. I'm not going to do that. I don't eat unclean animals. Do you know what the Lord says? Eat. You need to eat. Do you know what the Lord was saying? He says, no, I'm showing you what it really means. And you know what those clean and unclean animals represent? They represent people who have not yet been born again. Those unclean animals that were let down are Gentiles. The unclean animals represent people who haven't been saved or born again. Okay, so let me explain about the clean and unclean animals here. In verse 6 of Deuteronomy, it mentions who the clean animals are. How do you identify a clean animal? Two things. You can identify a clean animal or a clean Christian by two ways. You hear what I'm saying? The clean animals represent those born again. The unclean animals represent those who are not clean. They're unclean, they're unsaved. So who are the clean ones? Verse 6, it says those who pardeth the hoof and cheweth the cud. Notice here, to be a clean animal, like the ox, the sheep, or the goat, you've got to have on your feet that your hoof actually has a split in it. It's cloven. In other words, if you have a cloven hoof, you're a clean animal. But also cheweth the cud. In other words, you eat your food. And then you bring it back up and you chew it again and you swallow it. And then you bring it back up and you chew it again. That is a clean animal. Since I'm telling you what a clean Christian, someone who knows God, looks like, they walk right and they eat right. And because they eat right, they do walk right. Like a sheep. Sheep are represented as a clean animal. They chew the cud. Do you know what they do? They eat in that field all day and then they sit down and they bring it back and they just munch, munch, munch. If you ever see a sheep, it's not eaten for the first time. It's eaten for the second time or maybe the third time. You'll see it just resting there in the evening. Chew, 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 chew. You've been eating all day. No, but I'm meditating now. Since chewing the cud is a picture of meditating on the Word of God. But what about the unclean animals? If you see an animal that doesn't chew the cud or split the hoof, it is an unclean animal. If you see a person in the church who doesn't chew the cud and their hoof is not split, they are unclean. They are not saved. They're not a Christian. So if they don't do either of those, but listen more carefully, if they only chew the cud, like the camel, a camel chews the cud, but its hoof is not cloven. So what about a camel? Is a camel a clean animal? Not if you've rode on one of them, you know it's not. Believe me, if you've ever tried to get on a camel, and I have two or three times, tried to get Candace on one once, she says, I'm not going near that thing. Especially as it goes up near the volcano. She was scared the thing would run off with her. I couldn't get her on the camel. Said I should have kept quiet about the volcano. But since the camel does chew the cud, it only chews the cud, but its hoof is not cloven. Do you know what that actually means? It talks about the Word of God. It meditates. Man, I love the Word of God. I'll tell you what the Word of God says. I believe the Word of God. I'll pray the Word of God. But you don't live right. They don't walk right. See, the cloven hoof means you're separated. You're holy. You live right. You walk right in this world. And we've got a lot of Christians, don't we? And they go, I love the Word of God. And I believe the Word of God. And I chew the Word of God. And I can memorize the Word of God. But they don't live right. They're sleeping around and getting drunk and they're blaspheming. Well, I don't care how much of the Bible you know, and you could say I meditate on it and I'm watching all the YouTube sermons and I'm watching all of the latest preachers. I don't care. Do you walk right? Do you see that someone who only chews the cud or meditates or fills their mind, but they don't walk right? There's something wrong with that person. But also, what about those who have a split hoof, but they don't chew the cud? Do you know the example given in Deuteronomy and in Leviticus? Do you know what it is? The swine, the pig. Do you realize that the pig only has a split hoof? Only has a split hoof. But it does not chew the cud. That pig is a dirty animal. That's an unclean animal. And if you know nothing about a pig, you need to go visit a pig farm. And when you get very close to it, you'll soon know it's a pig farm. If you've lived near a pig farm, you want to live somewhere else. I can assure you it's an unclean animal. But notice here, the pig can look moral. It can look good. Oh yes, I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't blaspheme. But that lifestyle doesn't come from the Word of God. They don't believe the Word of God. They don't meditate on the Word of God. They don't hold the Word of God precious. I have met pigs in the church before. They could care less about this book. They don't believe it's inspired. They don't believe it's authoritative. Westcott and Hort were swine. Do you hear me? Those Bible translators like them, they were swine. They denied this Bible was authoritative. They denied it was inspired. They didn't take it literally. They say, we don't believe Genesis 1 to 3. We don't believe that. You know what? They didn't believe in this book, but they're very moral men, and they had back to front collars around their neck, and they had reverend and right honorable after their names, and they sat there in a pulpit and they preached about Christ. You know what those men were? They're swine. They're swine. They don't chew the cud. They don't believe in the Word of God. Since there's an important thing of chewing the cud is a picture of meditation. What do you do when you meditate? You regurgitate the food that has only been partially digested. If you only partially digest your food, you get indigestion. Candace had a father who always said, well, how many times were you to chew it? 100 times. Have you chewed that? I got married. I never had to worry about that before. A bit in our marriage when we got to know each other. Are you chewing your food properly? Are you just swallowing that? I never got asked that of my life. But now I've got a wife who cares about me, who doesn't want me to have tummy trouble, and wants the food to be digested. Are you chewing properly? I ought to ask all you Christians, are you chewing the sermon from Sunday? Are you chewing the message from Wednesday? You'll get a big bloated belly. You'll say, man, my stomach is hurting. I know why. You're swallowing it and you haven't chewed it. Since this chewing of the cud or meditation, take the Word of God, go away, sit down by yourself and meditate on the Word of God. It says in Genesis 24:63, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the evening time. Since when it's all quiet and the work's done and the day is over and you've got a bit of space, go out into the field where you used to work and just begin to meditate and to think upon these things. Since let me take you to these 7 points. I don't know how far I'm going to get through. I'm enjoying this. I love the Word of God. I love the things that are here. But we'll see how far we get this morning. I've got 7 points for you about meditating and how it affects your life. What meditation? Meditating on the Word of God. Pondering it. Thinking on it. Going and digesting it properly. First of all, number one, meditation is the secret to making right decisions. Look at verse 15 with me for a moment. It says, I will meditate. I hope all of you say that this morning. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Notice the verse before that says, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies. The verse after it says, I will delight myself in thy statutes. You see, if you rejoice in the Word of God and you delight in the Word of God, if you love the Word of God, do you know what? You're going to say, I will meditate in the Word of God. Saints, I'm not saying that you have to rush through chapters and books of the Bible. You could get up in the morning and have one scripture and meditate on that scripture and think upon it when you're washing dishes or you're going about the house or you're changing your baby's diaper or you're out in the office working. working and people are all around you. I've done this all my life. I've had guys, we used to be running up hills. I've got a squad of 50 men and we're all running up the hill. Do you know what I'm doing? I'm praying. I'm meditating. I'm thinking on the Word of God. I'm pondering the Word of God. I'm not living like them. These are drunkards, blasphemers, immoral men. You know what I'm doing? I love the Word of God, therefore I meditate upon it. Here in verse 15, he says, I will meditate upon thy precepts. Remember, the word precepts is a word for God's written word. Used 21 times in Psalm 119. The word actually means an authoritative charge that is binding upon the person who it's given to. So here you have him meditating, rolling, thinking, going there and getting a precept. In other words, a command from God who says, do this. This is a precept. Don't change my mind. Don't say it's an option. Don't go and talk to your family or some backslidden Christian who says, you don't need to do that and you don't need to believe that. Saints, who influences your life? Meditation is to allow the Word of God to affect your life. Here the psalmist says, I will meditate on thy precepts. What's the result of this? Look what he says in verse 15. And have respect unto thy ways. The word respect means to gaze, to absolutely set your eyes. I mean, you're consumed, you're considering. What are you considering? Thy ways, O God. Thy pathway. The way I'm to walk. It's not my ways anymore. Do you know what happens when I meditate on God's precepts, on His clear commands that aren't to be discussed or debated? When I meditate, He told me to do this. Do you know what happens? I then consider the right way to walk. Do you want to walk the right way? Do you want to make the right decisions? Do you want to know what to do in every situation of life? Do you want to know who to marry? Do you want to know what to do in the workplace? Do you want to know how to talk to friends? Do you want to know how to operate in the church? I'll tell you how. You know what you do? Meditate on the Word of God. Let it roll in your mind. That's the first thing. Meditation is the secret to making right decisions and to walk in the right pathway. Meditate on the Word of God. Saints, all the time you've been saying, I've got to make the right decision. And you have meditated. You're there saying, I've got to find God's way. I ought to be looking to what He wants. And you haven't been meditating on His precepts. First you meditate on His precepts, then you will be consumed. You say, I want to do this. I need to do this. This is what I want to do. Secondly, meditation is the secret to overcoming powerful opposition. Look at verse 23 with me. Verse 23, it says, princes also did sit and speak against me. But thy servant did meditate on thy statutes. Do you know what he's saying here? Princes, plural, not one prince, many princes. He's actually saying many princes did sit down together, have time together, were in the same room, sitting down, they weren't in a rush. Do you know what they're doing? They're speaking against me. Who are the princes? It's the head person. The chief poncho, the boss, the one with power who makes all the decisions. Who are the princes? It's those in your life. It could be a politician. It could be a school teacher. It could be a parent. It could be a government official. It could be the guards. Since it's someone here who has influence. It's someone here who can make decisions that affect your life. It's those that if they turn against you, they can make life very hard for you indeed. It could be anyone in a position of authority over your life that will affect what you do in your life. Look at it. It says princes, more than one, were sitting speaking against me. What would you do if that was happening to you? Do you know what this word speak against means? It means they're sitting talking, planning, pre-arranging. They're declaring to one another. They're rehearsing, planning how to subdue you, how to bring you down. That's what the word actually means. They're planning how to subdue you, how to trample you underfoot, how to bring you under. And they're sitting planning this. What would you do in response? If you hear that princes, bosses, people in authority are speaking against you, preachers are getting together, and they're all speaking against me, how to bring me down, what am I going to do? Do you know what he says here? There is an answer on what you do. Look what he responds. But thy servant. What are you going to do? Get angry? Fight back? Speak against them? Begin to oppose them? What are you going to do? He says, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. This is the cure this morning. Notice he says, thy servant. You see, if you're a man or a woman of the Word of God, you're a servant of God. And you know what that means? You know what a servant is? I would hate to have a servant or a slave. I would hate to have someone who says, I am your servant. Every time I tell them what to do, they go, oh, I'm not sure about that. I'd like you to do this. Well, I think I should do this. Or every time I said, go and paint the thing white, and I come in and it's black or it's pink, I'll be pulling my hair. I'll go, you're no servant. What is a servant? It's someone who hears the command and goes and does the command. Don't change my mind. Don't go do your own thing. You know what it says in this verse? It says, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Oh, they're all ganged up against me. What are you going to do? They're speaking against me. What are you going to do? They're going to bring me down and destroy my life. My boss, you don't know what he's like. My husband, you don't know what he's like. Man, my pastor, you really don't know what he's like. Man, he's against me. Then meditate on the Word of God. Saints, meditate. Fill your mind. Go to Scripture. Begin to let it roll. Don't let all those thoughts in your mind. But they're speaking against me. You better deal with that, or else you will bring yourself down. They won't have to do it. You'll bring yourself down by your mind. What, as a man thinketh, so is he. Saints, be very careful. This is the battle. This is where you fight the battle. Thirdly, meditation is the secret to personal devotion. Meditation is the secret to personal devotion. It says in verse 48 in this psalm, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commands, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Notice here, he's saying, here I am in the presence of God, and I'm holding my hands up to thy word. Saints, sometimes in the Bible, holding your hands up means prayer. It's a sign of actually praying. You lift up your hands when you're praying. The word actually means also to stretch out. It could mean he's stretching out after the commands of God. He has God's word, and he is reaching out, and he is laying a hold of God's word, and he's making it his word. Promises, commands, teachings, and he lays hold with both hands, and he pulls it down into his own heart. Saints, this man here is saying, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments. Maybe it means surrender. Maybe it means submission. Maybe it means blessing or praise or worship. But notice, here's a man who's saying, I'm praying, and I'm worshiping, and I'm blessing others, and I'm there. The word of God's impacting me. Do you know what the Word of God ought to do in your life? It ought to affect your worship and your prayer and how you bless others and how you live your life. The Word of God, when you're there submitted saying, I want the Word of God in my life. Do you know in the Bible it says a strange thing? I have exalted my Word above my name. Name denotes character. And you know what God is saying? He says, I have exalted my word above who I am. In other words, anyone who takes God's word and says, I love God, but the word of God, you're confused. Yes. Don't you realize God has exalted his word above his own name, and his name is very precious, and it has authority. And he says, but this is what I give to the word of God. It is very high. In fact, it's settled in heaven forever. It can never be changed, never added to, never taken away. God's word is settled in heaven forever. Since this man here, and notice what the key of his the key is. He says, I will meditate in thy statutes. Why are you praying so well? And why are you worshipping so well? And why are you submitted to God's word? And why are you there yielding and obedient? Why is it your devotional life is filled with Jesus Christ? I'll tell you why. I meditate in thy statutes. Do you realize when you meditate in the word of God and fill your mind and ponder and think upon them, you know, you go, I want to pray unto them. I want to lift my hands up in prayer. I want to lift my hands up in devotion. I want to lay a hold of the word of God. Saints, I wish I could just grab a hold of that word, settled forever in heaven. But I am going to worship him. This is the secret to devotion unto God. I'm consumed with him. I'm filled. Fourthly, in verse 78, meditation is the secret to overcoming wrongs done against you. Has anyone done anything against you? Has anyone hurt you? Have they acted against you? Then I've got a secret for you. Meditate on the word of God. Verse 78. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me, without a cause, without a reason. But I will meditate in thy precepts. Notice here who they were. Let the proud be ashamed. He's praying to the Lord. He says they're proud. There's certain proud people. You know what that means? They're arrogant. They're arrogant. They do things without thinking. They don't care about you. They're not concerned about you. They're number one in their own life. That's a proud person. They're arrogant. Nothing affects them. They just act and don't care about consequence. They speak without thinking. That is an arrogant person. But he says here, let them be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. Now notice what that means. Dealt perversely. And this is what it means. It means these proud people have dealt perversely, crookedly, falsely. They actually overthrow what is right. They pervert or twist everything. They subvert everything. They turn everything upside down. And he says, without a cause. Without a cause means they are a manipulator, a twister, a conniver, a liar. It means to act in deception. Here are people, they're liars, they're not telling the truth, and they don't care about the word of God. They may say, I'm a very nice guy, and I'm a very religious person, and I believe in God. But you know what? They're a deceptive person. They're a liar. They manipulate things. They do things to harm you. They say things to harm you. They'll go to speak to others and they'll say about you what they'll never say to your face. You know what that person is? They're proud. They're arrogant. You always know an arrogant person because they're cowards at heart. They're very, very arrogant. And you know what? Here is this psalmist. He said, look at the proud. They have dealt very perversely with me. They're turning everything over. They're causing false accusation to come against me. I haven't done anything against them. I've treated them good and they're treating me bad. They're speaking bad of me. You know what he prays? He prays and says, Lord, make them ashamed. Every proud person is going to be ashamed. And if you have pride in your heart and you act in a proud way or an arrogant way, can I tell you what your future is? You are going to be ashamed terribly. What does being ashamed mean? Disappointed. It means to be held back. Remember, he's praying this about them. Held back. Confused. You become dry. What is a proud person? This is what happens to them. You know why? The psalmist, he's actually praying. You know what he said? But I will meditate in thy precepts. They're acting perversely against me. I'm going to get angry. I'm going to get bitter. I hate them. I'm going to tell them what I think. But I meditate in thy precepts. What are you going to do? They're acting perversely against me. What are you going to do to them? Are you going to strangle their neck? Are you going to punch them in the face? Are you going to curse them under your breath? Not uttering it on your lips, of course, because you're a Christian. Do you know what you're going to do? You're going to meditate on the word. I wonder what scripture you're going to find to meditate on. But you don't know what they've done to me. They've hurt me. They've caused me great harm. I'm going to meditate in the word of God. Do you know what I think I'll choose? Matthew 5. Love your enemies. What a scripture to meditate on. Saints, that doesn't come natural. But they've done this to me. I know, but meditate in Matthew 5 what Jesus said. Love your enemies. Man, this isn't natural. Oh God, help me. I need to go alone and meditate on that. Love your enemies. You know why? It's not natural. It's not what you do as an initial reaction. Unless you've meditated on the Word of God and it's become a part of you and it's actually living inside you, you will never love your enemies. You will never bless them that curse you. You will never do good to those that hate you. You will never pray for them that despitefully use you and who persecute you. But you know, when you meditate on the Word of God, you go, I'm going to love them. I'm going to bless them. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to do good to them. They can do whatever to me. But you know how I'm delivered? By meditating on the Word of God. Point five. Meditation is a secret to daily victory. Look at verse 97 with me. Verse 97. He says, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day long. All the day long, saints, meditate on the Word of God. Yeah, I'll try and fit it into my project in a month's time. I'll set half a day aside in a month's time and I'll spend half a day meditating on the Word of God. You know what? When you go away from here in the next month, just you try fitting half a day's eating in along your schedule. Well, I'll try and eat and I'll have strength. Yeah, I know what you'll do. You'll get in trouble. Eat daily. Eat in the morning. Eat in the evening. Unless you're fasting unto the Lord. But saints here, don't just meditate once in a blue moon. I've got a tragedy. I better run for my Bible. I better meditate on it. It's too late. Yes. It's too late. You should have been meditating in the Word of God. Just on a day, a little bit every day. Just go along. You know what? You have strength in. And you have answer. And you have medicine. And you have the cure before the curse comes. Don't wait until you're cursed. And the viper bites you. The serpent bites you and you go, get me to a doctor. I need an injection. Saints, you can be immune to the bite of the serpent. You see, meditation is the secret of daily victory. Psalm 1 verse 2. Delight in the law of the Lord. I meditate in it day and night. Joshua 1 verse 8. What did he say? Meditate therein day and night. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. Meditate in the Word of God daily. Saints, if you only come looking for God in a crisis, or come looking for His Word in a crisis, you're going to get hurt along this way. I want to tell you, do you want a successful life? Meditate in the Word of God daily. I don't care if it's one verse for 5 minutes, or whether it's 5 chapters in 1 hour. I don't care. I'm not laying down legislation. Neither does the Bible. But you must meditate in the Word of God daily. Just take a verse. Take a sentence. Take a truth and meditate on it. 5 minutes. Can't do that. I don't have time. What? You don't have time? Then you don't have time to eat. You don't have time to dress. You don't have time to shower. You don't have time to comb your hair if you have any. I tell you, you don't have time for so much. Why is it we always have time for what we want to do? That's why in verse 97, look, oh, how I love thy law. How do you find time to meditate every day? Oh, how I love thy law. Saints, I love the law of God. I actually love the Word of God. And you know what? I didn't create that. I received a love for truth. Sixth of all, meditation is the secret to learning. Let me make this very personal to me. Do you know this is a promise God gave me as a 13-year-old? Or maybe I was even younger. Very personal. Verse 99. Look what it says, verse 99. I have more understanding than all of my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. As a young boy at school, I was dyslexic. I was a failure at school. When I did get a good mark in my maths exam, the teacher made me stay behind after class and redo it because she was convinced I'd actually cheated in mental arithmetic. My normal mathematics, I got below 10. In mental arithmetic, I could hit the 90s. And she said, you cheated. Well, She kept me behind after class. She got me to do it again. The shock on her face. She never did but apologize to me. There's lots of teachers didn't apologize to me. Mr. Curry, the French teacher, the first day in class, just you sit there, boom, books on the deck. Don't you bother learning. Don't you bother, son. Just sit there. Don't be a pain in my neck. I hadn't done anything, hadn't ever met him. I tell you, some teachers I had problems with. But as a child during those same days, you know what, this scripture, God gave it to me. God actually gave it to me. A promise that I knew God had given to me personally. I couldn't do my alphabet. I couldn't do the French. Whenever we had a visiting French fill-in teacher, he'd say, who's going to read? And all the class sniggered and laughed and said, he will, he's a good French speaker. Well, he'd say, son, stand up, begin reading at page 97. I'd start reading, and everyone's sniggering quietly. And the poor French teacher, who's only filling in for a day, he's trying to be as nice as he can. He said, thank you, son, you can sit down now. We all laughed about it afterwards. But you know what, saints? I was in a place I didn't know much, but God give me a precious promise. I have more understanding than all my teachers. And he said, that's going to be you. I'm going to make you to know more and have more understanding than all of your teachers. And I believed, I knew it was concerning the Word of God. He was going to teach me. He was going to give me understanding. He was going to give me wisdom. The verse before this, it says, I'll make you wiser than your enemies. The verse after, he says, I understand more than the ancients or the very old people. Saints, meditating on the Word of God is the secret to spiritual learning, growth and maturity. But here last of all, verse 148, let me finish. Meditation is the secret to rising late at night and rising early in the morning. What did you say? Meditation is the secret to rising early in the morning and rising in the middle of the night to seek the Lord. Look what it says, verse 148. Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. Now this word prevent is an old English word. And this is one of those words that are archaic. It doesn't mean what you think it means. Mine eyes prevent the night watches. How could they prevent the night watches? They can't. But listen to what prevent means. It means to proceed, go before, anticipate, hasten, to rise up before, to be in operation before. He's saying, mine eyes prevent the night watches. Look at the verse before it, 149. He says, I prevented the dawning of the morning. Do you know what he's saying there? I was up before the sun rose. I actually hastened. I got up before it. I was actually up reading the Word of God. When? Before the sun got up. Before everybody's awake in the house. Saying, get up and read the Word of God. Beat the sun. Beat the drunken neighbors. Beat the sinners in your own home. I assure you, get up. There's very few sinners get up early. That's how you beat them. Everywhere I've been in life, I want to be up first. I want to be in the shower and I want to be reading the Bible. I do like my shower in the morning, but I love the Word of God more. I love to wash my body and be clean and smell nice, but I would rather get washed with this. It makes me smell right, and it makes me look right, and makes it okay to sit next to me during the day. You know, someone who hasn't been washed in this Word, you don't want to be sitting next to them. They smell. They smell. You know, you can say to someone, have you... I'm sorry. I won't be able to finish this now. You aren't going to forget this. Someone needs to come finish this now. No, keep it in. They'll never forget it either. Let me finish. Who hasn't been meditating the Word of God? Your attitude. You're not clean. I think you need to go away and meditate. You see, mine eyes prevent the night watches. You know what he's saying? The night watches in Israel, for the temple and for the walls of Israel, there are three night shifts throughout the night. Do you know what he's saying? I am up before those night watches. They're going to the temple. They're going out to stand on the wall. Do you know what? I am up in the middle of the night. They get up at 1 o'clock. I'm going to be up at 12:55 meditating on the word of God. Since he's given a real thing here to say, early in the morning or the middle of the night, you'll find me up before those guards, before those priests in the temple, before the sun in the sky. I am going to be up meditating on the word of God, that I might meditate in thy word. Saints, get up at 2 a.m, or get up at 6 a.m, or get up out of your bed at 12 p.m. and begin to meditate on the word of God. You say, I'd never do that. I never have done that. Then you don't love this word as you ought to love this word. Many years ago, and with this I close, there was a man called Philip Henry who lived in the 17th century. Philip Henry had 6 children. And he taught those 6 children concerning Psalm 119, all 6 of them. And he said, sons, daughters, meditate on Psalm 119 every day. He said there's 172 verses in that psalm. And if you listen to your father, take that one psalm from your young and every day take one of those verses and just think on it, meditate on it and begin to ponder and let it roll in your mind. And he says you'll become someone who loves God's written word. If you can get into this one chapter, you will love the entire Bible. His second son was called Matthew Henry. That was his second son. And Matthew Henry in 1710 released 6 volumes of the commentary of the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. This young boy who meditated on one scripture every day from Psalm 119 gained such a love for the Bible that he wrote on every single book of the Bible. And it is the greatest commentary in the Bible our world has ever seen in any country of the world. And where did it come from? One little boy listening to his father say, I'm going to meditate on the word of God. He released it in 1710 and England was very dark and very little was happening and no one was getting saved. And there's no preachers. But 20 years later, a young man, 21 years old, called George Whitfield, picks up this Matthew Henry's commentary and begins to read it on his knees. And as he sat with the Word of God and this Bible commentary, do you know what he prayed? He'd always be on his knees, never study at a desk. He always studied on his knees, on the floor. And you know all the time, if you heard George Whitfield studying, do you know what he was saying? More light! More light! More light! As he's studying the Word of God, it was a prayer. Oh God, give me the Word of God. Open up the Word of God. Teach me the Word of God. And George Whitfield, God laid his hand upon him and raised him up as a preacher who brought revival to England. And there'd be crowds of 30,000 and 70,000 people out there. And hundreds and thousands would get born again as he preached an old-fashioned gospel. You must be born again. Your sins are washed in the blood of the Lamb. Since it's amazing what could come out of a life that'll simply meditate on the Word of God. Or if you teach your children, meditate on the Word of God daily. Just take a little scripture. And you know what? God can bless it. And it becomes a large commentary that affects our entire world for the next 400 years and brings thousands of people in to the kingdom of God. Amen. Stand with me here this morning. Hallelujah.